Good evening. We are in Parashat Noach. We started last week a new beginning, Parashat Bereshit, starting to read the book from the beginning. And it's restarting. Like we got recharged during the holidays. And hopefully we've got the power that we know, you know, before the holidays for Rosh Hashanah, Achrei HaChagim. Achrei HaChagim.
Yes.
Says everything Achrei HaChagim, so now it's Achrei HaChagim. Now, Yom Tov is ended, all of them, and we're starting a whole new beginning in a month that's got nothing in it. Like it's a simple, daily, day by day month. And sometimes we ask ourselves, first of all, what is more important? Holidays, the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Simchas Torah, Shabbos, or all the other Yom Tovim, or the simple days of the week? What do you think is more important?
Simple days of the week.
Why?
Because it's more of them.
Because you need the weeks of the day
to...
You need the weeks of the day to for parnasa, for running a household, bringing up the children and everything.
So what is more important, Shabbos or the 6 days?
I guess the 6 days, because Shabbos.
Because otherwise, I wouldn't ask the question.
Huh?
Shabbos, and you work the whole 6 days.
Shabbos comes one day, right?
Yeah, yes.
6 days is.
So you say, what you have more is more important. What is more precious? What is more precious? A jewel or a simple stone? Or a rock?
The rock is big enough for me.
Jewel is more important, sure.
What's more important?
The living soul.
You can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't appreciate Shabbat without working during the week.
But what do you think God wants? What is the purpose of our life here on earth?
It's to learn Torah.
To keep the Torah.
To keep the Torah. And do mitzvah.
When do you keep the Torah?
Every day.
Every day. When is it more, important or crucial? Or when do you feel that you fulfill the task of your life?
I mean, the week is important that you can earn money and have parnasa.
Okay.
To make to pay for all the Shabbos treats.
So you say that what is more important, Shabbos or the day or the weekdays?
What you're saying is
that you need the weekdays in order to have Shabbos.
Yes.
So what's more important, the Shabbos or the weekdays? If you need the weekdays in order to have Shabbos, so Shabbos is more important.
Shabbos is more important.
So you work the whole days of the week in order to have a nice Shabbos. So Shabbos is the most important day in the week.
Sorry.
I'll tell you what. First of all, everything is important. But what is more important is to fulfill our task in life. And our task in life, why did the neshama come to this world? What's the reason?
To keep tariyak mitzvot, to work on your middles, to do tshuva, to develop yourself.
To elevate everything. Everything, not Shabbos. Shabbos is elevated by itself. That's exactly the point.
That's the neshama.
It's like the neshama. Let's imagine to ourselves a car. Car needs petrol. So you go on the road, and the petrol at one point is going to
disappear.
Finished.
Yeah.
You're going to finish the petrol. So what do you need now?
More petrol.
So you need a petrol station. In the petrol station, you fulfill, you fill the car with petrol, and you can go on driving. But what is the reason? Why do we have the car?
To get us there.
In other words, you don't have the car in order to fill it with petrol. You have the car to drive, to get from one point to the other point. In other words, all the Yomim Tovim and all the Shabbos and everything, and Shusukas and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is really a big petrol station that gives us the petrol, the power. It's a power station. Gives us the power to go on with life. In other words, the most important thing is what's going to happen now after the Chagim. The Chagim are there in order to give us light, power, petrol, you call it whatever you want. But the main destination, the main reason of the creation of human beings is to fulfill your task in life, which is take everything and put holiness into it. In other words, it's not a big deal to be holy on Shabbos. And it's not a big deal to be holy on Rosh Hashanah. At Yom Kippur, you're like an angel. The Chochmah is to be holy
during the week.
Exactly. That's the idea.
Can one be holy by doing Shmirat Lashon?
Exactly. All those things you do because you see on the daily week you go for parnasa, you go for this, you meet people, you mingle, you allow to do everything. And then, that's the test. How do you behave? Do you in the middle of the day go and daven? Do you keep your mitzvahs while you're trading? Do you keep your behavior, your nice behavior to your fellow man, also when he gets you angry during the week?
No.
That's exactly the point.
The problem that we born with the Yetzer Hara together into us. And then...
Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. And God created heaven and earth. What is heaven and earth? Earth, it's human being. Heaven, the neshama, from up there. And earth, the body, from down here. So God put it together. And our job is to be together and to prosper and to bring results. It's like when a man and a woman meet, get together, and we expect them to provo. God, the first thing He tells us to provo. Multiply. Bring children to this world. Or in other words, if we want to put it like the Kabbalah says, male and female get together in order to bring toladot, to bring results. Now, results can be kids, but it can be also good deeds.
I just wanted to say something. When I was a stupid teenager, I asked myself, what do I want of life? Now that I'm more mature, I don't ask myself anymore, what do I want out of life? I ask myself, what is God's will? And by going by that, what is God's will, it's made me a much happier person.
In other words, when we grow up, we start to realize that, first of all, we're not alone in this world, and we have a mission, and God wants us to do something. That's what Mesilat Yesharim says on the beginning. It says, Ma chovat adam bo'olamo. You have to look every day and think to yourself, what is my duty? What do I have to do today? And this brings us to the creation of the world and the destruction of the world. And by the way, it happens in the same parsha, on Bereshit. We didn't have a shiur on Bereshit, but on Bereshit, the world is created, and then at the end of the parsha, Vayomer Hashem emche et ha'adam asher barati ma'al pnei ha'adama me'adam ha'behema. I'm going to wipe up everything. And one of the question is, you know what, okay, we know the flood and everything, what's happening, but it's in Noach. Why couldn't we end Parashat Bereshit in a nice way? God created a beautiful world, and whatever happened, happened, and then leave for the next Parsha the destruction of the world. Why to tell us in the same Parsha the creation and the destruction? The idea is very simple. We have to understand from the beginning what are we doing here? And to ask ourselves, what is our mission? What is our task in life? What God expects us to do? Now, God is in us. The neshama is a part of God. And that's the holy part that we've got inside each of us. And it's in a body. In other words, we need to do the job, soul and body. You cannot separate it. You have to understand that you do the job together. And then we realize that when God tells us, why is He destroying the world? In Pasuk 5, at the end of Perush Bereshit, at the end of Bereshit, which is Perek Vav, go Maftir, the first Pasuk of Maftir, on Bereshit, okay? Vayar Hashem, and the Lord saw, Ki rabba rabba ra'ata Adam ba'aretz, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. V'chol yetzer machshevot livo rak rak olayim. And that everything is so corrupt and evil. Only evil continually. The whole day, all the time. Vayinachem Hashem ki asa et ha'adam. And repented the Lord, and it repented the Lord that He had made the man.
Gabby, don't they normally say that Hashem changes His mind for a tzaddik?
Yes.
Well, if He's going to change His mind, we haven't come across a tzaddik yet.
It's not exactly changing His mind, but that's...
I mean, well, He's going to reconsider. I mean,
yes.
We're talking about that.
So this is the last pasuk of the parsha of Bereshit.
Yeah.
Matzachen v'enei Hashem. Noach found one human being in the whole world that he likes. Yeah. And this is Noach. And Noach is the one who in our parsha starts the whole world from the beginning.
Noach and his wife and his children.
But when we talk about Noach, we talk about Noach and his family. And that, by the way, that's the reason he was saved. Because we all of us want to know what exactly did God like that Noach did. Noach Matzachen, he liked Noach. In other words, it's not written that Noach was a tzaddik and that's the reason he was saved. It's Noach Matzachen b'nei Hashem. So it was not enough to be a tzaddik. It was something that he did that God liked. So why? What did Noach do that God liked? It's the beginning of our parsha. Ele toldot Noach. These are the...
Whoa, they're saying that he was perfect in his time. Noach.
That he was?
Perfect.
Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav. Et ha'elokim italech Noach. Vayolad Noach shlosha banim. Pasuk 10 tells us that Noach had 3 kids. What has this to do with the toldot of Noach? You see, the translation here, Ele Toldot Noach here, what do you have the translation there? What is Ele Toldot Noach?
These are the offsprings, the children.
Generations?
No,
it's
really offsprings.
Okay, so you say...
Descendants, the world. Nachkommen, I've got this German translation. Nachkommen. Nachkommen applies also descendants, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So Toldot is the children?
Yeah.
Or is it what he went through or his story?
It's the future.
Or the future of what?
The future.
The doesn't mean children.
So it says, Ele Toldot Noach. Noach, ish tzaddik tamim, haya bedorotav et ha'elokim mitalech Noach. So, do we talk about the Torah telling us about his kids? First of all, the Torah is telling us that he is a tzaddik. What is this to do with Toldot?
The thing is, in his
with the sentence,
he was a tzaddik in his generation. Everybody was so bad, he was good.
Yeah, what I'm saying, the title says, Ele Toldot Noach. So what would we expect now to hear from the Torah?
Who are the Toldot?
So is this what the Torah is telling us right now?
No, not the children. The other that came after them. Toldot. Descendants.
El Toldot Noach. Okay.
Descendants.
Yes, from Noach. Okay.
The big thing about Noach is that he was a tzaddik in such a bad...
Generation.
Yes. That he didn't let himself get corrupted by the bad influence.
Yes. No, this is
no doubt about it. But what I'm asking is, if we say Toldot is the children, so it says Ele Toldot Noach, Shem Cham VeYefet. But that's not what it's saying. Only the next pasuk, VaYolod Noach Shlosha Banim. So what is Rashi saying about Ele Toldot Noach? Sheikar toldotem shel tzadikim maasim tovim. That the main generation
offspring of righteous people are good deeds.
In other words, the generations or the continuance of the tzaddikim is good deeds, not children.
Yes, Avraham and Yitzchak.
You gotta have
Yaakov.
The children.
It should say
Ele Mitzvot,
not
Toldot.
Then it should say Ele Mitzvot, not Toldot.
If he begin but all then, the war, he begin everything again. And what you read in the next parashot is Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the our fathers and mothers, and then this is the generations that came.
I'll tell you what,
it was
what,
everything
what,
planned.
What we want to try and find is that the pasuk before, which is the end of Bereshit, says Noach matzachen b'enei Hashem. God liked Noach. Ele toldot Noach. In other words, in the toldot of Noach is the reason that God liked Noach.
Because he didn't let himself...
Et ha'elokim italech Noach.
Because he didn't let himself be badly influenced, corrupted
by... And that's all what he did?
It's a very great thing.
No. He brought up his children to follow in the mitzvahs.
Right. Vayoled Noach shlosha banim. Says, yes, tzaddikim bring to this world good deeds. But what are the good deeds of Noach?
Children.
That with all the difficulties to raise children in a family in a place where everything is corrupt, he succeeded to have a normal family.
But happened something when they went out from the... No? Something with the wine.
Yes. A lot of things happened when he went out, but...
Up to then,
he is successful with raising up kids. Also, Avraham Avinu had two kids, he had more kids, but only one was going on in his way. Yitzchak, the same story. So, each one of those tzaddikim, not exactly everybody was a follower.
This is the thing that when someone chiloni reads the Torah,
yes,
what they say? They say that it's full of murders and full of bad. They don't see the good, the Yaakov. They see the Yitzchak. They see the Esav.
Everybody sees what he wants to see.
Yes, yeah. From Kaima Bel.
Tzadikim, they say.
First, yes. In Bereshit.
Tzadikim yelchu ba, uposhim yikashlu ba. There are those who learn the Torah in order to take the good out of it, so they succeed. There are those who learn the Torah in order to find the bad in it, they also succeed. But they go to a different place.
It's amazing how many things.
But the truth is that this whole, the whole Sefer Bereshit is really telling us how to behave. Now we start to understand that the reason that God loved and liked Noah is what?
That him and his children were normal.
He had the power to, against all odds, to raise a normal family. In other words, if we want God to love us, what do we have to do?
Love our children.
Love our children and pass them the message. Raise them in a proper way. Educate them and give them the power to going on in the same way we are going. That's what God likes. And it's a big lesson. It's not only me, and I don't care what's going to happen after I'm gone. Mm-hmm. That's, by the way, the same power of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was chosen because he had the power to pass the message to the next generation and to the next generation. You had a lot of tzaddikim, but none of them had the power to do this. There was this yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, the son of Noach, and the great son of Noach, Ever. And a lot of people learned there, so they were not. Avraham was not the only tzaddik, and Noach also was not the only tzaddik. But it's not enough to be a tzaddik. Or it depends what kind of tzaddik you are. And what is a real tzaddik? Is a real tzaddik the guy who sits and the only thing he cares about is himself? Or is a tzaddik somebody who cares for others?
A tzaddik cares for others.
Exactly. That's a tzaddik. In our parsha, in the last parsha, we have Cain and Hevel, and we talked about it in the past. Cain has got a beautiful idea to bring a sacrifice to God. It's his idea. Hevel copies it, and what happens? God likes what Hevel is bringing, and he doesn't care about what Cain is bringing. Cain gets very angry. And if we put ourselves in his place, we would also be very angry. We had a beautiful idea, and our brother stole it from us, and he gets the whole thing, and I get nothing. So he got angry, and he killed his brother. So we ask ourselves two questions. First of all, what is the right way to go? So we'll say, of course, the way is Hevel, yes? So why God lets Cain to kill Hevel? The lesson here is, if you're good, you're going to be killed. That's the message. You tell me. That's what happens.
But like they both, I understood like this, that Abel, he gave with his heart. He chose the best from his. And Cain, he wanted to give also to follow the brother, but he didn't choose the best from his. He took one.
The story is very simple. First of all, the idea is Cain. But why? Why did he want to bring a sacrifice to God? Because he loves God or because he loves himself? That's the question. Cain knows who provides God. So I want to be with good relationship with God. He's very clever. But cleverness doesn't mean righteousness. Cleverness can be evil. Cleverness can be for me. Selfish. And Cain is really selfish. He's got this brilliant idea because he is clever. So he thinks, what can I do that God will give me more? I've got a beautiful idea. I'm going to bring a sacrifice to God. But when he does this, he loves himself so much that, you know, oh, this is too good. Ah, I love this, I love that. So he gives God all the rubbish. There is a story. A mother was very ill. She went to the doctor. The doctor told her, you have to eat bananas. It's got this thing in it that is going to help your illness. So she goes and buys 4 bananas. Because that time, bananas were very expensive. The son comes back from school, sees those bananas on the table, and he loves bananas. It's a delicatesse. So he says, it's for my mother, but, you know, if I eat one, there's still 3 left. So he takes one and eats. But, you know, it was very tasty. So tasty that he looks at the other banana, and the other banana looks at him. They look at each other, and he says, okay, I eat also this. Still 2 bananas left. It's okay. Mother will be okay with this. You know, they say with eating comes the appetite. He says, well, 2 bananas. Looks at the banana looks at him, looks at the banana looks at him, looks at him. But takes the next banana. Now, he eats, enjoys it. Ah, very tasty, very tasty. Now there's 1 banana left. 1 banana. He looks at the banana. He's still angry. He wants to eat. But I've got my mother, I cannot eat. My mother needs it. He says, you know what? I'll eat 1/2 a banana. So he takes, peels the, how do you call the clipper?
The peel.
Okay. Peels the peel and eats 1/2 of the banana. Now he's got 1/2 of a banana on the table. What do you think he does now?
Eats
and he leaves the peel, the shell for his mother.
Wow.
And that's exactly what we do to God. And what kind did to God. He brings a sacrifice. But he doesn't bring the fruits. He brings the shell. He brings the rubbish. He brings what he doesn't need, what he doesn't want to eat. It's like we run around and we do things for whom? When we go on daven, we give God what? Our inner? Our heart? No. Only words with no meaning. Nothing in it. Only the shell. Don't we do this sometimes? I'm being very careful sometimes. Do we do things like really giving God only the shell and not the fruit? And not the inside? And not the heart? That is kind. Okay, so we'd be like Hevel. But Hevel died. We don't want to die. Why did Hevel die? Good question.
Yes, it's a good question.
The truth is, Hevel is, you see, it's not stories, what we read in Sefer Bereishit. This is learning how to behave. That's Derech Eretz. That's Musa. The real truth is, Hevel didn't suffer. When he died, where did he go?
Gan Eden.
To be with God. The Neshama called, went back to the place, and believe me, he's got it good there. But still, we have to learn. So what the Torah is trying to teach us? The Torah is trying to teach us that if we are not going to take our thoughts, our neshama, and put it in the cleverness of the daily means, we don't do anything. So we better off go back into heaven. Because here we have a job to do. And in order to do the job, we have to be connected with a part of Kain. Kain is the symbol of cleverness, of doing Isha Adama. And that's what we are supposed to be connected with Earth. We are supposed to be connected with the body. The neshama is not by itself. Kain is selfishness, cleverness, But everything is for him, not for nobody else. He doesn't care for God. He doesn't care for his brother. He cares only for himself. And eventually, it looks like those people who live